Yo, 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 you already know who it is. Price, Rob, Vinci, bro, me, Ghost Podcast back again. Weekly episode. Y'all gotta know that y'all love tuning in to us on the radio.
See that face? See that face? See that face?
See him?
All this face.
Gotta talk NBA. We got a coach thief in the house over here asking other coaches out on dates and whatnot. New York Knicks, y'all should be ashamed of yourself.
Swiper, no swiping.
MLB, my Red Sox are calling everybody up. All hands on deck. Red Sox Nation, we trying to pull it together. Football, let's put together a fantasy football flag. Well, a fantasy flag football team. Put some more. And we are go, Rob. What do we have to do?
We go hit that music.
First, starting off, gentlemen, we have to address the elephant in the room with the New York Knicks. In the words of the great Rock, what in the blue hell is wrong with the Knicks right now? Why are they out here asking other teams' coaches if they want to be there? And so named by one of my homies here, Rob, which team should want to punch the Knicks the most?
It's got to be ass. Got to ask the question.
It must be ass. Rob, go ahead and elaborate and let the people know why they should be ready to go ahead and smack the hell up out of the Knicks, right?
Smack, slap, absolute fire. So if you are unaware, the Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau a good little minute ago. And so now they're looking for a new head coach. Seemingly, from what people are saying, is because they really don't have a plan. And so they basically fired Tom Thibodeau with really no backup plan in place. So as they basically have done in Knicks fashion, or seemingly in Jim Dolan fashion, they went out and asked different teams if they could interview not the assistant, but the head coaches themselves. So they asked the Mavs if they could basically ask if they could get an interview with Jason Kidd. Asked the Bulls if they could get an interview with Billy Donovan. The Wolves with Chris Finch. The Hawks with Quinn Snyder. And the Rockets with Ime Udoka. Like, they asked not to trade, but to actually see if they would come in for an interview. So that's what we tell, like, man, they missed seeing your coach. Like, they like, hey, look, your girl look really nice. Or your man's, you know, like, we 2025, so, you know, whatever. But your mate looks good. But they look better with me. Like, do they want, like, tell them come by my way. And so, like, I would think, as we all sit here, like, we're guys in relationships, guys that basically have had relationships. You have had a relationship, probably. What are you going to do if somebody come to your mate and basically be like, hey, look, what if they like to come with me? You know, spend some time with me. Spend a good little minute with me. That is a punchable moment. So, with Knicks basically trying to dirty Mac, and the openly dirty Mac, and basically trying to get out, it gotta be. Somebody's gonna wanna punch them. And so we got, you know, the five teams in question, thinking like, hey, what team should wanna punch the most? Punch them the most. And what I would say, it's gotta be the Rockets. Think about with the Rockets right now. Rockets basically have had one of their best seasons in a long time with a guy that basically just got fired for taking his hands in somebody else's cookie jar. Especially when you had a Nia Long on your arm.
Yes.
He basically fucked that up. Almost royally, especially because they won an NBA championship without him.
Yes.
I think the Knicks basically saw him and was like, we see somebody that basically looks like they gonna run astray. He might just ask them if he could get, you know, let me just go talk to the Knicks right quick. Let me go see what they want. Like, I'm gonna be right back. All right? I'm gonna be right back. And then the Rockets was like, no, you are not gonna be right back. You're gonna stay your ass here in Texas. And so, like, I want to see what y'all think. I want to see not just y'all in the audience, but my two fellas right here. Who do y'all think really wants to punch the Knicks the most?
Jarvis, I'm going to let you go first.
Well, just on a general topic, I don't even know what made them think in their right mind they can go to coaches just in the playoffs, well established in their team, like the Timberwolves, the Rockets, the Mavs. You know, they got shit in place, you know, like, and especially the Rockets. I'm gonna have to say the Rockets as well. And for different reasons. All right. You know, he came in, he got a nice team. They got great potential to make a run. And he is also, his team is also in the running potentially for KD. So it's like, he possibly gets to coach KD. He got a great future potentially coming to him. Why would he want to jump to the Knicks that you don't even know if the coaching was a problem? You know, he might get there and the same issues happen. So I think the Rockets got a better chance at being successful as a team, whether they trade for KD or they stick with the young guns or what they got. So, yes, that's the main reason. Second up, I would have to say the Mavs, because having a number one pick, I know Jason Kidd looking forward to what they're going to do with it. So that was stupid.
That's true.
I don't even know why they thought that was a good idea. Any of them. I'm going to pass it on. Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
Look. This. I thought kind of hard about this. And to me, this is more than a punchable offense right here. Might even pull a duel on you. Because the amount of disrespect that you gotta have on your brain to come ask me to interview my coach.
That's true.
This is why I couldn't be an owner, because I might have called James Dolan and told him we're going to get on the private jets and meet me in the desert. I'm about to slap you with this glove and we're going to do this like the olden days and have this shootout in the desert and somebody ain't coming back.
That's a great point.
It's going to be me. I'm coming back. I'm going back home. This, first of all, I'm going to give a quick answer. Y'all are both right. The Rockets and then Dallas, because Dallas, don't y'all know that y'all have a guy who's susceptible to once was what he once used to drink? He's a man that could have got a drink and been led astray on the dance floor to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all letting them hollering about, hey, man, can we talk to Jason over here? No, never do that. Never do that.
In my house.
James Dolan, something is wrong with you.
Yes.
To think that this was cool. In the words of Carlito, I spit in the face of people who aren't cool. Just flat out. This should never have been done. And this was a cockamamie scheme. This wasn't thought out. I'm going to fire him because we didn't win. This is what had to be said. I'm going to fire him because we didn't win. And then right after that, he said, they were like, well, what are we going to do after we fire him? We're going to hire another coach. Well, what coach? I don't know yet. But we're going to hire another coach. That's what had to be said. There was no plan. A, B, C, none of that.
None.
Just, I'm going to fire. We figure this out.
Yep.
We just going to figure this out later. Look, Knicks, I do wish y'all the best, because y'all are also, Knicks are also a team in a running for maybe getting KD. KD probably got a couple years left in him at a high production rate. Everybody wants to see if they can pick him up. Yeah. Make a run in the championship, see if you can win one. Should the Knicks do this? Maybe, because the cost for KD would probably be cheaper than the cost for Giannis. This is true.
Really? But, well, it should be cheaper, but yeah. They don't really have much. Like, think about it. They traded five first-rounders for Miles Bridges? They don't have much to basically trade, I wouldn't think. Let me see.
It's going to be a personnel swap. That's what you're looking at. You're looking at a personnel swap to get KD. That's all you're looking at. You're probably looking at Miles Bridges or OG Anobi leaving.
Mm-hmm.
One of those is possibly leaving. So you can get KD. And if you're going Giannis, you're probably losing Cat and one of those guys.
So I stand corrected.
I'd rather sacrifice Miles Bridges, though. Try to keep OG Anobi for the defense.
Yeah, but I think the problem is like, you gotta, I mean, if you basically say tangentially, if you say you traded Miles Bridges for KD, which would be quite ironic because that's where Miles Bridges started, but like, if you were to basically say like, we basically traded five firsts for Miles Bridges or for KD, It's like, it's a better thing to say we traded 5 firsts for Miles Bridges, even though that's what you really traded them for. You know, and granted, I do stand corrected. They have their first round. They have 2 first rounders next year. One is from the Wizards is 1 through 10 protected. So they have like 4. They technically have like 4 picks next year because they got 2 firsts and 2 seconds. But like, yeah, like it. I think, yeah, it's going to have to be capped. Cat is probably going to move out to whoever, whether it's the Bucks or whether it's the Suns. That's got to be the dude that they trade. Period. And to be real, I think he'd work out for either team. Like, I think when you talk about he is a premier scorer, he does make stupid decisions. Maybe this will be the wake-up – well, not wake-up call, but maybe this will basically be the thing that gets him where he plays a little bit smarter and plays a little bit more winning basketball. But – this is a absolute premier scorer that you basically would have that is young and somebody that you know could fit in basically any kind of offense.
Yes.
As long as he ain't got to play the 5.
Yeah.
No 5.
That's going to be a killer on that one. That will be a killer. I don't know where he will go, but this NBA offseason is about to be very interesting once this draft.
No way.
We have had a... We're having a crazy finals, which is going to lead to a crazy draft with a crazy offseason because it's so many moving pieces. Is Giannis going to request a trade? Where is KD going? Is Zion going to stay in New Orleans? It's people moving, shaking, dropping, trading everywhere. What the Knicks are going to do, coach-wise, personnel-wise, it's a lot going on. This NBA finals offseason... it's going to be something to watch. Shams phone. Shams probably got 3-4 phones going to be jumping. Like trap phones right now.
2. And to see, you know, Westbrook, he declined his option, so.
Yep, he declined his option in Denver. Who God knows bless. Where he should end up. that might work out for Denver. And they even have a mystery. Do we keep Michael Porter Jr.? What are we going to do with him? Can we trade him for something else? They were talking about going to get DeRozan or trying to get Zach LaVine from Sacramento to put in with Jokic and Murray. This is going to be a humongous offseason. Hell, Luka, Lakers. Can the Lakers get a big? Yeah? Can they solve their defensive issues? Dallas, what are they going to do? You got a guy out with ACL. You have AD.
Think about Michael Porter Jr. with the Suns. That would be fucking crazy. Let's say,
would he even still produce? That's the thing.
He probably would because they wouldn't have much else. Now, let me stop that. They got Devin Booker still. But,
And Bill. And Bill is there.
He's from St. Louis. Let me bite my tongue. But yes, they would still have those 2 players. That is absolutely true. But like putting them together, like that's a nice ass. That's a nice ass squad. And he's younger. Granted, he's had more injury history, but that would be pretty interesting.
Hey, and you can't forget Cleveland is talking about putting Darius Garland up. To go to Orlando so they can pick up Jalen Suggs, who's more of a defensive point guard.
That'd be interesting.
Stick on point guards to let Donovan Mitchell score more and let the rest of the offense go without having a point guard who needs the ball in his hands like Darius Garland. Garland could go easily to Orlando where they are having a lack of scoring outside of Paolo in France, and potentially they were a playoff team. They did lose in the first round, but they only had 2 weapons. Maybe Garland flourishes as a 3rd weapon. Maybe
that'd be a great move.
The landscape of the NBA this offseason could change.
Yes.
It could completely change.
Yes.
And let's not forget, everybody's looking at, Jaylen Brown is having surgery. So apparently he played in the playoffs with a torn meniscus. Is what they're saying. That's why he didn't play the best. But even the Celtics are looking at, could we trade Milwaukee to get Giannis?
Yeah, Jaylen Brown. If I am the Celtics, Jaylen Brown is trying to find homes in upper wherever Milwaukee. I'm putting that nigga in whatever it takes a week to go get Giannis right now. Even if that nigga was fully healthy throughout the playoffs, I'm like, hey, go basically see how long the Milwaukee is from Chicago, because I think that's what you're going to really want to be at. Even though I heard Milwaukee is kind of popping for, you know, people like us. Like, I'm like, nigga, you about to basically find out. You are basically not here anymore. You basically don't need to worry about anything we're doing for next season. Go ahead, get comfortable there. Try to find homes there. Do your thing, homeboy.
Like I said, the entire landscape of the NBA could change entirely. From top to bottom, new teams high, lower teams, even like we talked about earlier before the show started. I believe Atlanta's just development away.
Yeah.
From being a contender, this thing could go topsy-turvy.
Yep.
In one offseason.
Yep.
In one offseason. Because, hey, like I always like to say, I know I ain't getting no prediction about Paul George, so we already know where the 76 is probably going to be soon.
Mm-hmm. You're probably the only one that's going to be silent.
Okay.
We know what this is. We know what's going to happen for them. Hell, hey, and the other possibility that we could always look at is, and I know that this may be a long shot, could you imagine the Clippers getting KD? To go with Harden and Kawhi?
That'll be dangerous.
That would be fucking tough.
Remember, he has a home in L.A. He has businesses out there in California.
Oof, that would be... Damn. I guess when do they give up?
I don't even know if that money could work, though.
Yeah, that money could work. That money could work.
I don't know.
That money could work, though.
Because so you would have to give up something.
Before.
Oh, yeah.
Roster-wise, it could work. I'm just thinking, like, what... You would have to give up something. And they already have a lot that you can give up. Because James Harden on the player option, you can give up Zubac, but like you gotta give up something. They gotta give up a bunch of somethings.
No way, you might give me Zubac for KD.
They have Oklahoma's first round pick, and then they got Minnesota's second round pick for this year.
Yeah, but Oklahoma. But that Oklahoma shit pick ain't shit though. Like, that's what, 30 or 31?
It's going to be 30, probably 30. But think about this. Depending upon what else you have and then who else you could trade or what else you could move or if it's a three-way or even if they can get other teams involved like Utah. Utah is going to be looking to get rid of Lauri Markkanen.
Utah's always ready.
Yep. You got a guy with a big contract who knows he's not winning, and you're going to look to move him. He has trade value. Him, Walker Kessler, they have pieces they can move. Colin Sexton, if he's not going to be part of the rebuild. Like I said, the entire NBA landscape can change all this offseason.
It's going to be a while. When that ball drop on July 1st, hey.
Remember, you have the retiring of some of the old guards. Some of the old guards still got juice left that's playing. Picks, people swapping. Hell, Portland has talked to San Antonio. We want the number two pick. You don't know what they have. It's going to be a bang. It is going to be a hell of an offseason this offseason. I promise you that. Everybody has to pay attention to that. But not for us to drag on too much. MLB, Rob, you're right. As we put on our gauntlet in Boston, we've called up even Roman Anthony.
The Roman Empire.
From the minor league. And we're putting all hands on deck. Boston is looking to get back to 500. Second to last in our division, but our division is stacked. Yankees up there 42 wins. We just beat them the other day. It was a close match. Yes. We are pulling all our Infinity Stones, Rob. The Red Sox are in it to make a push. Eric Crochet the other day, I thought he was going to pitch a shutout until Judge hit that home run.
Yeah.
That was a old green monster.
Over the
second of the go down like that.
But he took that loss, though.
He did. He came back. That was a moonshot.
Yes, he did. He hit the hell up out of that. It spoke to me in saying this. I look at the Red Sox right now. We have a lot of young talent. Crochet is a hell of a starter for us.
Yes.
We need better pitching, but we have a lot of young guys. We have young bats. We have Devers, who finally got his head out of his ass. We have everyone who's just... We're slowly starting to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
We're slowly starting to put it together. I'm happy that...
Yeah.
We're getting somewhere. I'm
happy for y'all too. Not too happy, but I'm like happy. Because those three guys, when you talk about Christian Campbell, you talk about Marcelo Meyer, you talk about Roman Anthony, that's a great little young core. You already got Wilmer Abreu. I know he's hurt right now. You know, y'all got some Gary Crochet. Y'all got some dudes. Like, y'all got some dudes that you can actually believe in. It's just me and y'all haven't been able to put it together. But it's like, y'all basically like, man, we got to do this right now. And I love that part of it. I love that y'all basically are like, we need to do this now. We need to get these motherfuckers some playing time because we need to basically run for next year. Because when you see basically how the Orioles have basically been this year, it's probably going to be for next year too, because they're not, unless they bring in some starter pitch, which doesn't seem like they will. Like, when you look at the Rays, they're still going to kind of be coming up too and really trying to establish themselves, but hopefully they're back in Tampa next year, so we'll see. But, like, hitting the ground and hitting, basically being like, hey, we got to make sure we're up for the wild card, if not the Central. I love it. I love the fact that y'all did it. So it's just, yeah, y'all got all those prospects that we was talking about at the start of the season. All of them are there now. It's fucking crazy.
Not to mention, Bregman isn't healthy right now. We still have Bregman sitting out there. We have a lot of potential. So much potential.
I like to see him get in rotation too and see how they do.
You know, we're going to work this out. I kind of wish I could trade Walker Buehl at times. He gets on my nerves. Him and Lucas Giolito, that's just me. You know,
I didn't know that nigga was hurt. I didn't know that nigga was playing. I thought that nigga been hurt. Because he always seemed like he hurt. Giolito.
Yeah, he gives up too many runs, though. He got like a 8 ERA down there.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
My goodness.
It's like hit or stare at him and already get hits. It's like the equivalent to Nick Cannon and women. Like, he stares at women and get them freaking done. I feel like hitters stare at Giolito and they know that they're going to get hits.
Like, he just look at me like, over the fence. They be like, over the fence.
it just happens with him. He even gave
they
up
walk
like
up, 6 they walk up to the plate. Oh, yeah, there's my bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, he just started 8 games and then gave up 6 home runs in 8 games. It's almost a home run a game and 47 hits. Like, they have more hits against him than he's pitched innings. He hasn't quite completely pitched 40 innings and he's gave up 47 hits this year.
That's ridiculous.
That is bad. Yeah, I thought y'all could basically find something within him or something like that, but it's bad.
Every time I see him in the rotation, though, I look at whoever we playing, and whenever I'm doing my betting, I'll be like, who we playing? That person on the other team is going to get a hit against him. Like, I don't even have to think about it. Now, the crazy part is, I don't know if people realize this, but I want to say he got your Braves and got a win. I want to say he played against your Braves.
You did it. Your team did it. Like, yeah, I'm giving it up to dude. We got beat by the better Braves. Red Sox.
You know, again, the better Braves, you were correct the first time.
No, I just fucked up. Just like I do.
You were correct the first time.
Yeah, that was the crazy part, because I was like, whenever we played the Braves, he gave up 5 hits, one run, and that was like the only run that y'all got in that game. And it's like, he wouldn't get 20 hits to break.
Yeah, man, they was hot messes at who that. Like, you call a brace for a good time, you know, like, you just make it happen.
I know we're a little under the weather right now, but a whole lot of season, baby. A whole lot of season.
How much weather? Like, it's only so much weather that can happen. Sam comes out. Like, nigga, like, y'all niggas always under the weather. Like, where you niggas gonna have some good weather? Like, where's the fair weather in y'all?
We're gonna get this break during All-Star Week.
Y'all niggas seem like. Like, we were singing tomorrow. You niggas just not gonna get there. It seemed like that's the case.
Hey, we gonna get there.
Y'all more orphan than Eddie. Like, y'all just saying.
We on the yellow brick road, and we gonna find him. You know,
is it the piss roll? Is it like the playoff P, the piss roll? Like what are we talking about here?
The good news for them is this. They playing Colorado. They won the other night 12-4. Right now, they've already jumped out on Colorado in a second, 2-0.
So they should just win.
Yeah.
Beat up on the kids that basically ain't got nothing right now. Yeah,
let's do that. Hey, look, gotta play tough. You know, they can't take it easy. They gotta learn how to dig themselves out.
And while we're on the subject of MLB, before we switch topics real quick, do you guys think the Rockies will hit possibly 100 losses before they get to 20 or 25 wins? Because right now they're 13 and 56.
They'll get 20 wins before they get 100.
13 and 56.
So you got like what? That's 44 more 40. L's.
44 to 7.
Now, hold on now. Let me give some context to this, okay? You got to remember, they're at 13, but three of those wins came in a row to get to 12.
Yeah.
And then they lost five straight before getting the win. And then lost to the Braves and are losing again right now.
Yeah. I think they'll get to 20 wins before they get 100 losses, but I think they'll get to 100 losses before they get to 25 wins.
Yeah.
So this is what I think. On average, they lose about 5 games before they get a win.
Yeah.
So with that being said, we 7 off of 20, it's 35 losses.
Yeah.
We going by that area, and right now you're at 56, 5 against you 60. They'll be at 91 losses by the time they get to 20.
It would take them. They could go 8 and 8-7, you know, in between there instead of just 5, you know. So
that's true.
Look, if there's any Rocky fans out there listening, I'm sorry that your team is just this bad.
You may be entitled to compensation.
Yeah, you may be entitled to compensation for the amount of losing that you guys do. To say that y'all have 13 wins in 69 games.
For the Rocky fans that are out here, I want to come here. Look, I know what you're going through. All right, I have. No, not really, because of Ricardo. For the sake of this conversation, I know what you're going through. So why don't you need to just come in. We gonna give you a Bromigos hug. Like, we never did this for anybody. We never did. We gonna give y'all a Bromigos hug. So just stretch your arms and just wrap around. Just get it up in there.
Like, show me love.
Because y'all need that. Y'all, I felt like not too many people are giving y'all hugs. Not too many people are actually helping y'all mental well-being. Because y'all gotta watch that team so many times. Hope you don't. I hope for your mental health, you don't watch that. It's like doom scrolling right now. That's really what basically watching the Rockies is. Because it's like, there's nothing I can do about this. There's nothing I can do to change this. They just going to basically be on this downward spiral for I don't know how long. I don't know what else to do. You know, like, Larry Walker ain't walking through that door. Vinny Castillo ain't walking through that door. Like, Bartolo Jimenez ain't walking through that door, dog.
They probably already looking forward to season 2026. That's how bad it is.
Like, wrap it up, buddy.
And I have to say this, through 69 games, their run differential is a -209 right now. It's almost double. -209. It's almost double. It's almost double the second worst one, which would be the Athletics at 118. So if the Athletics are at 118 and you're at 209, that is horrible.
So bad. So bad.
And not to mention, the Athletics, Baltimore, and the White Sox, and the Marlins, who are also not that good. And the Pirates, who have struggled batting-wise, but have probably one of the greatest pitchers right now.
Yes.
All have at least 23 wins, and they only have 13. That's the best way to think about this. Last place in every division has at least 23 wins. Except for them. Which they also, as we've talked about, may be a part of, well, I can't say for sure, but they do have the NL West, which is 41, 40, with 30, 35, all in win columns above them.
Yeah.
It is bad.
It is horrible. My heart goes out to any Colorado Rockies fans that are basically watching this program. I'm sorry that you have to go through that. You would hope that they basically have the realization and be like, I can't deal with this. I shouldn't have to put up with this kind of shenanigans. I shouldn't have to live through this. And I agree. You shouldn't. But damn, you are. You are there.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have to deal with this, you know, like Rob said, you may be entitled to compensation. Because it's horrible for y'all right now.
So boo-boo. Yeah, it is.
But moving on. Mm-hmm. So we all know that we've heard I forgot the guy's name, Mr. King of Olympic Flag Football. Wow. And he's saying that NFL players cannot play in the Olympics playing flag football, which we kind of disagreed with because we were like, yeah, we're pretty sure if their teams would let them and they go out here and do this, then they can dominate, you know, just stun it out of them. But we here at Bermeagles Podcast, we're tossing a few names around there, and we kind of have some names for a fantasy flag football team, and we believe that we could put together some old people, mm-hmm. some older guys, and they may be able to go out here and guard and do this in a flag football setting, because the guys out there right now are like 38, 39, 40, and all of them playing it. So, hell, why not just get some old NFL retired guys and we see if we can go out here and do this thing? Thanks. So,
yep.
With that being said, Rob, I'm going to let you go ahead and list off some of the guys that we have put together on our list that could make up our fantasy flag football team of old people here from Bermeagles Podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the first name that basically I got on here, or that we have on here, Cam Bam Newton. Like, he's 36, basically still got that arm. Granted, his body for tackle football probably ain't great. For flag football, he still can move, probably still can basically sling it out there. Big boy, he can move around. I think he basically be great. I know another name that Nate put up here, Mike Vick. I will forever, it's just like anybody, but like anybody on this podcast will forever basically believe in that man until that man ain't here no more. Like, y'all saw the episode of AT. Like, that man, he probably still got it. You know, granted, he's coaching Norfolk State. Shout out to Norfolk State, you know, right around here. So, like, yeah, I mean, he's coaching. Like, I think he can make it happen. So, wide receiver one, Larry Fitzgerald, one of the greatest receivers that basically we've had, like, recently retired. You know, I think his son is, like, either going to college or something like that, or in high school. Like, people looking at him already. Like, but man, always been a dependable receiver. Probably could get out there and make it happen, you know.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Next up, though, one of the best receivers I've ever seen with my own two eyes, Julio Jones. Man, I mean, look, one of the basically superior athletes. Dude could basically just go out there and just shake niggas all damn day. Like, it ain't really no thing for him. Like, dog, like, he's that dude and probably will forever be that dude. But another dude that could probably forever be that dude was wide receiver two, T.O. T.O. That man is, like, what, in his 50s? Like...
He's still playing, like, 30-something.
Dude, like, he basically... I think he's, just like, he's going to be an athlete until at least, like, 5 years after he gone, though. Like, he's... That man always is ready. I think he can basically be, like, somebody that could bring the goal for us. You know, just we don't use our actual NFL to players and stuff like that. I think he could basically do the damn thing. Along with the next dude. And, you know... Keep moving himself. Ocho Cinco. I think, man, that man has had, you know, he's had a great career doing the podcast thing with Shannon Sharp, like on Club Shay Shay. Shout out to Club Shay Shay. You know, like, they basically, I think he basically would be a great receiver in fantasy football. He can't be flag football. He looks like a flag football player. You know, like, absolutely looks like a flag football player. But another name, another guy, Megatron.
Yes.
Megatron, I think basically he was like, hey, I'm done dealing with the Lions. I want to basically look, you know, do more things in tech and stuff like that. Now that man basically could be doing something for our country and basically winning the gold in flag football. I mean, you can't basically, I think he's basically still athletic. I know he don't want to play tackle football, but I know that basically he could probably still go out and just like win, jump balls. I don't think there's a person in any part of the world that could basically go one-on-one with him. Just like the next dude who basically has some health issues, but I probably still got it. Randall Moss. One of my One of the reasons why I basically started watching football and became a Vikings fan, Randy Moss. I would love to basically see him play flag football. I'd love to see him do anything. I hope you're doing well. Hope everything is going right with you and everything like that. But another guy, basically, to play the center position. Now, granted, this is not like a typical center position where, you know, you got to have a big honky motherfucker out there. You just got to have a cat that basically hike the ball, play, getting coverage. I got Andrew Hawkins. And the reason why I got Andrew Hawkins is because, A, I like Tomahawk Podcast with him and Joe Thomas. But B, he's a guy that basically was a pretty good receiver when he was around. Like, you know, smaller guy, basically can move, do whatever, like run routes, basically hike the ball and kind of get into space. I think he'd be great for that. But another guy that basically we can have, like even as like a tight end or one of the great tight ends of all time, that can basically do, you know, the hiking and everything like that. Tony Gonzalez.
Yep.
Still looks like he's in great shape too.
Like, I think he can still go.
Like, I think he's somebody that basically can be that kind of like Jason Witten type. You know, he's much better than Jason Witten. But like, he could be that guy that's going to get in space, get anywhere and do the damn thing. Another guy would be Gronk. I think Gronk will actually love doing that shit.
Hell.
Yeah, like Gronk, I think, will be another guy that could basically do that center position. Rusher. This is one that I'm really infatuated on. Tyrann Mathieu. I think he would be an absolute great rusher. I want a motherfucker that's the honey badger rushing the goddamn ball. Even if it's like five Mississippis, I don't care. Like that motherfucker, I think can basically go out and do the damn thing wherever the damn thing is. But another dude, Julius Peppers. Same. Like that's my dude. Like, I think he could kill it.
And let's just say this. Julius Peppers was an all around worldly athlete coming out of like high school and college. He was crazy good. I'm just saying right now, people, we already got the gold medal. I'm just saying, you can't tell me if I got Fitz, T.O., and Megatron out there that my quarterback can't stand back there and make this happen. I'm just saying, and we ain't got to the best part. Some of our people that we got out here covering, even though one of them is a older guy, you know, we just threw him out there just in case, you know. But we ain't got to our coverage people on defense yet.
Not at all. Because the first one, Revis Island. Darrell Revis, like you basically, Darrell Revis is one of the dudes that basically I think would absolutely kill it. He'd lock up anybody. Same thing with a guy that really gets overlooked. We were talking about this on the show. Really gets overlooked for how great he was. Champ Bailey was an athlete among athletes. He was playing wide receiver and corner in college. Then basically was one of the best corners in all of football throughout his NFL career. Like, nah, man, like, that was a dude that absolutely, like, those two dudes were shut down. Same thing with a former Tiger, Patrick Peterson, former Viking as well, Skull Nation, always with you. Like, basically, I think he'd be another one, great guy, great dude, like, absolutely would kill it. Another historic name, another guy that I saw the football life, like, he's still doing yoga with his kids and everything like that, but he might be still be able to do it. Mr. Ronnie Lott. Him and his 9.5 fingers, though. Yeah. Like, I think he will basically be a guy that's going to be out there. Like, you do the damn thing. Stephon Gilmore, another former Viking, basically shut down corner, along with Ty Law, another dude that always gets overlooked. These guys will absolutely be covering that, like, covering receivers that can't do shit. Like, there's nobody in this world that can do shit against these guys, along with over the top Ed Reed. Granted, he just had the whole thing with Bethune-Cookman, and I know, like, Block may be still, like, simmering with him. Maybe not as hot, but simmering with him. Like, he'd be good. Along with Devin McCourter, bless you. He is on TV, seemingly, still looks like he's in good shape. He was a ball hog, basically, back when he was with, I keep mixing him and his brother up. But, like, I think he was with the Patriots.
Yeah, I want to see
him. Yeah.
Devin McCourty. I want to see McCourty was with the Patriots.
Yeah, because James McCourty, I think, was the one with the Titans. Devin, I think he'd be great. But, like, that's what we got, basically, for who we think would be a fantasy flag football team. In case we got to use, like, you know, go expendables and use some of our old guys, like, older guys. Like, I think this would be a good team for us that we can have to compete with the flag football, the, you know, regular flag football cats. But just so we can basically not use some of our NFL folks. We're going to win, bro. And we're going to win.
We're going to take it out. We're going undefeated, baby. That's it.
This is going to be like playing in the rec for them. They're going to be like, ah, we put together a rec team, went out there, won gold medal, you know, came back home. And just did the damn thing. It's going to be light work. You know, they get a gold medal. So, damn, yeah. It's easy work. Easy light. Money. Easy money. Now, before we get into WWE, I just want to address something in the boxing world. My boy, Turk Ali-Sheikh, has went on record saying he doesn't want any more people who are going to run. He said, I'm paying people to fight, and we want to see bangers. This is coming off the heels of what happened with Devin Haney and other fighters who are just, they skating around the ring, though. They skating. They don't want to get physical. I know that the sport of boxing is supposed to be hit and not get hit. But you can't be on your bike.
Nowadays.
Yeah, it's too many people on the skate, though. They want to get on their bike and ride around in the ring. I want to see a banger. That's why I'm not really interested in the... Well, I'll peep at it, the Jake Paul fight, because I feel like everything with him is just, it's not really a fight. It's him just trying to say, I can fight.
Glorified sparring matches.
Yeah, he's facing... Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. The man hadn't fought in like 10, 12 years. And this is who he's fighting. He's like 40 years old or something like that. He's coming out of retirement to fight you. 40 something years old. To fight a guy in his 20s. Like I've always said, if Jake wanted to prove to me that he's a boxer, go fight one of those guys right now. Go fight a guy who is current right now and go get your ass knocked out. And then we'll talk about you being a boxer. Because all of the people who wanted to fight you, the Maurice Bridges of the world, and you told them, nah, I don't want to fight you. Like, I don't want to fight him, huh? You want to go fight the old guy? You want to go fight Mike Tyson?
Right.
You don't want to fight Maurice Bridges? You don't want to fight him? No? All right. I see how this works for you.
Like, that's how far your smoke goes. Like,
well, trust me. If I knew that he would get in a ring with any of these current guys... That's whipping ass. I do like my boy said that year whenever they were hollering about DeMarcus Cousins versus Brittany Griner. To go to the bank, I'd liquidate the house. I'd get everything out of the bank account. And I'd put it on whatever current boxes facing Jake. Because they about to whoop his ass.
Yep.
He's not getting this. And that's how I'll go. I'd be a rich man after this all said and done. I'd be a very, very, very rich man. But Turk said, no more runners, only bangers. That's why Crawford and Canelo should be a banger. Can't wait to that fight come. That's what I'm waiting for. That's true.
Same. And it's going to be on Netflix. So, you know, that's going to be nice. They've been putting on good shows. We could have put on good things. So, yeah, I can't wait for it either.
Netflix said he's trying to take all our money, though. They said he want it all. That's what they want.
Got much of it.
There you go, Netflix.
Right.
Now, on to our main events. We here, Bramigos Podcast, the guys you see in front of you, me, Price, the big bad podcast daddy, Visky, Rob. I came up with this idea because I personally feel like Triple H, you're not doing a good job, bro. Shit's not clicking, dog. So, me here with my Bramigos, I want to book the Money in the Bank contract and the title he chases with the outcome right here with you guys right now. So, my fellows, let me present my first idea to you guys, okay? Right now, currently, we have Seth Rollins with the briefcase, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's in his faction of Deadly Alliance, you know? This is cool. This is nice. But due to the circumstances that have happened, and Jey Uso is no longer holding the title, and Gunther has the title right now, and this looks like it's all in preparation for a Goldberg farewell match, which I do not care for, but hey, WWE likes that A-Rab money, and you know, money is money, you know what I mean? So, me personally, the fact that he knew the beat, if you don't know about that song, people, go ahead and Google it right quick. Go ahead and Google that A-Rab Money song. Y'all gonna think that we lying, but this is the real song.
Yeah, the 2010s was a very interesting time.
Yes, it was. But this is how I would like to see this come out, guys. Since Gunther has this title, I do not need Goldberg to win this off of Gunther. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because for one, in the words of my Bermigo Rob, maybe we need to go back to Attitude Era style of titles where this changes hands multiple times because the amount of times people have held a title supersedes longevity, which I can agree with. We talk about the amount of times a person has had the title versus how long they've had the title. So, with that being said, Seth freaking Rollins, I would like to see him chase after the WWE Heavyweight title. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put that out there first. How I would like him to cash in this is after Gunther beats Bill Goldberg. Mm-hmm. What do we have after this? We have our next pay-per-view.
The next one champion is going to be technically SummerSlam.
Okay.
So you got main event. You got SummerSlam.
We're going SummerSlam, goddammit. It's Seth freaking Rollins, okay? So, Gunther says that he's slightly upset because nobody was there to party with him after his title run, which I don't know why, guy. You seem a little bland. That's just me. But if he's going to hold the title, I want to book him properly up as a monster. I want to see him maybe walk through a person or two, have him kind of hurt Goldberg a little bit. Well, you know, they going to play Goldberg up, but let him walk out on the other side. Let Gunther start the promo. Let Seth and the Deadly Alliance start to stalk him. Let Seth start to play mind games. Come out, catch him, show him the briefcase, you know, hand in there, briefcase, I'm watching you. I don't want Cena, I want you.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, as Gunther works himself towards SummerSlam, let Jey Uso get a shot again for his title. Okay? Now, since we've pretty much established in our mind that Jey Uso is going back to the tag team, he's going to lose. Okay? He's going to lose to Gunther. But make this a knockout, drag-all fight. Let Jey Uso give his all with Gunther. And Gunther come up maybe on the end of a win with a submission, right? SummerSlam night, crowd goes wild, everybody's enjoying this. Well, except Jey, because Jey already lost title. He's not going to enjoy this part.
I mean,
so, with that being said, this, whenever the Deadly Alliance strikes, Braun comes out there with Bronson Reed. They rough him up. Spear, jumping off the top rope, splashing on. Fuck him up good. And then Seth freaking Rollins with Paul Heyman on his side walks out. They get a ref. He shoves briefcase in hand. I'm sorry, Gunther, that I'm a bookie like this, but I feel like this is the best way for this to go out for you. Seeing that you had an exhausting match, because y'all probably went 15 minutes, at least 15, 20, hopefully. I'm going to have him shove the briefcase in his hand. Gunther, you're going to try to stop him. Seth is going to get the upper hand. Curb stomp. Bam. Pin him. Quickly. 1, 2, 3. Seth Rollins is your new WWE Heavyweight Champion. We're not going to put him after Cena because I feel like what's going on with Cena may be a little bit more complicated. We haven't fully fleshed out that angle with Cena because for some reason, something is telling me in my mind that they're going to try to work goddamn Cody Rhodes back into this some way, shape, or form after this CM Punk shit. Something is telling me that this is going to happen. So, I'm going to book Seth Rollins to come out, cash in, after a Jey Uso rematch to go ahead and win this title from Gunther. Perfect curb stomp after Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker have ravaged Gunther. What was left of him out of the match? Seth freaking Rollins is your heavyweight champion. What do you guys think? What other ideas do you all have? Would you put Seth going after the heavyweight, or would you try to make him go chase Cena?
You go first.
I'll say, all right. I would still have him go after the world heavyweight title, but a different scenario, okay? So you get the Goldberg situation started up, right? For me, Goldberg, for me, Gunther, you know, he goes out there, he tries to demolish Goldberg, but Goldberg does get a quick offer. I think he starts it off with a quick spear, boom. Spear, boom, you know, jack, trying to get the jackhammer, Gunther kicks out. And then all of a sudden, Goldberg tries to get the upper hand, but Gunther takes over, puts him away. Goldberg retires with the loss. He tries to put Goldberg in a sleeper just to put him out of his misery. Then who makes the save? None other than Sami Zayn. And this starts to be for Sami Zayn to come back in the picture to finally close his story with that chapter and beat Gunther for the World Heavyweight title at SummerSlam. You got the fireworks going off. Jey Uso come out there to celebrate with Sami Zayn. Then that's when Seth Rollins makes his move. While the fireworks are going off, everybody think it's over. He comes in with the referee. Braun and them, they take out Jey Uso. Boom. They take out Sami. Curb stomp. Count it off. 1, 2, 3. Ruin Sami Zayn World Championship celebration with the fire.
See, he's okay. Putting Sami Zayn in there. It could be a twist, and we'll give Sami some light.
That's just how I would book it. Something I've seen different that would come out.
So what I'm thinking is, because we got the King of the Ring tournament, granted, we'll have Gunther demolish Goldberg. You know, they demolish. It ain't gonna be like a squash. But it falls into his first. Goldberg is 60 fucking years old. Like,
exactly.
I'm sorry. Let me suspend my disbelief. Goldberg is a contender. So basically, Gunther's world title. It's going to be title versus career, probably. And then basically, Gunther, after a hard-fought match, is going to beat and get the upper hand on Goldberg. But in the King of the Ring tournament, I'm going to say that the newest person who basically just got added to the tournament, to that Fatal 4-Way that's coming up on Raw, Jey Uso, is going to overall beat Randy Orton in the finals of the King of the Ring tournament. Okay. With that title match, as him being the King of the Ring, he is then going to go on to face Gunther at SummerSlam and basically go against Gunther for there. While that happens, Jey Uso is going to defeat Gunther at SummerSlam to basically win the title back. Then music's going to play. It's going to be Seth Rollins' music playing. But what we talked about, I think what they're going to do is have Bron Breakker cash it in and become the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That's the way that this is going to go. Because Seth Rollins is going to say, I am going to basically do what all my predecessors didn't do. You look at Cena. You look at all these guys. You look at CM Punk. What did they not do? They did not bring the young talent up and basically put them in a position. I have won my championships. I said, I want the world to come to me, but I'm going to give the world to the new generation. I'm going to do what none of my predecessors do. I'm going to be on top and give the gifts to the ones coming up instead of just hoarding it for myself. I think that's what Seth Rollins does. Which then basically becomes the whole thing of, I made you Bron Breakker. Then they basically have a clash and then basically Bron Breakker breaks him. And so that's the way that I see that overall playing out. But I see that's how that starts.
WWE, I feel like you should pay us. I'm just saying.
I mean, free game. The freest of game. The freest of game.
Because I feel like we all have
the
ideas.
I also could have booked the women as well. I had a plan for Naomi.
I do too.
What do you have? What do you have for the women? Jarvis, go first. What do you have for the women?
All right. I feel like Naomi should hold the briefcase for a long time. Okay. That is my thing. She should, you know, play with it, have fun with it, you know, tease it. Not just on SmackDown, but on Raw as well. And yeah, because I think the women's world title, I ain't seen it in so long. I don't know what Io Sky been doing. So we need to breathe some life into that, you know. And maybe I'm thinking more like, depending on if they want EO to carry that long past SummerSlam, I don't know. But if they do, or whoever beats her, whatever that's it, I'm thinking more like Royal Rumble. I have a feeling that like that could be it. A big surprise, other than a Royal Rumble match where EO Sky loses, that's the moment Naomi cashes in on Io Sky and runs Rex Havoc on Raw, because, you know, they never really did the draft. You know, I don't know if they still bringing that up. She, you know, she drafted to Raw with that title. If she cashed in on Io Sky or something, I think that needs to be revived. clash with all the new chicks on Raw. No standing, you know, you never know. I feel like that'll give us something different and bring that together.
That's my idea on that.
Okay. Rob, what did you have for the women's title?
So similar to basically what I was saying, like with the King of the Ring, we got the Queen of the Ring, and we have one of Naomi's nemesis in the Queen of the Ring tournament, who is Jade Cargill.
Mm-hmm. So you're recording this stuff.
Because I think my thing fell out. It looks like it's back up, or it looks like I'm recording again, so I don't know.
Yeah, because it says you're back.
All right. So you got basically, so now you basically got Jade Cargill, who's in the King Queen of the Ring tournament. I think they're going to want to give her something. So basically, this is going to be a top opportunity to basically have Jade Cargill in the finals of the Queen of the Ring tournament beat, let's see who it would probably be. Might be Stephanie Vaquer, you know, in the finals of that tournament to then go on to SummerSlam to face Tiffy. They've already teased Tiffy versus Jade, so this basically brings something that basically is already there. So with that, all they would have to do is just have the match. Jade goes over Tiffy, beats her for the women's title. Here comes Naomi's music, and then basically now you got two cash-ins at SummerSlam. So I think that'd be the way that they got to do that, you know, because then you basically can say, hey, Jade Cargill has been a world champion, technically, and then you basically have that feud go back and forth. Then, or you could basically do the heel thing and basically say Naomi, the hate basically overcomes her, and she is the first woman to not have a successful cash in.
Okay.
So, okay. I mean, granted, I think everybody would absolutely hate it, but I think that it'd be one of the things where you could basically be like, the hate basically didn't prevail with Naomi, and now she basically is the first person to not have a successful cash in.
Mm-hmm. That could work. I can see both sides of that because WWE has to do something that's exciting. Do I agree with what happened with Jey Uso? No. Do I agree that we do need to have more title changes? Yes. And like I've said before, I do also think that we need a TV title to develop some of these people. Because we have nothing. Stephanie Valkyrie is a perfect example of WWE telling us, take it.
And take like, my money.
Like they just want us to take whatever superstars they throw at us right now. Go love them, and it's like, but I don't want to love them. But I gave them to you.
Okay. You're right here. Go get them.
I don't want them though, and that's what they want. They want us to love whoever they give us right now. And in the long term, I think this could hurt WWE. I really do think that this could hurt WWE. Now, before we go ahead and get up out of here, guys, we will give you each an athlete comparison for the people who have heard the Carter Six. And Jarvis, go ahead and give us your athlete comparison of what you thought the Carter Six. Who are you going to compare it to?
As a big Wayne fan, you know, looking forward to this, I was highly disappointed. My athletic comparison would have to go to the WWE. Listening to this was like watching The Undertaker versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 33, where he just didn't have it no more. Uh-huh. He shouldn't have been in a ring. That's how I felt.
No business being there.
Your swan song should have been No Ceilings too. That's really how I feel. That's my comparison. Ciao, guys.
Rob, what would your comparison be?
So when I was listening to it, I was like listening to it, and I'm thinking like, okay, this is somebody that has had a history, has been to, you know, the mountaintop, has basically shown that he's had great talents ever since he was a young age, and still can show at times when we basically put him in a way that, or put him in a situation that he did in his younger years, but essentially has shown that he just ain't got it no more. It ain't there no more. Because, like, when I heard him on that, you know, Rock the Bells sample track, when I heard him on the Band from New Orleans or Band from TV sample track, I'm like, okay, this is the old Wayne that I remember, or this is close to the old Wayne. But then he had those other ones, like the shit with Bono. And it's just like, okay, yeah, you're not there. You're not here. That guy's not here for real. So the athlete comparison that I had was somebody that we actually just talked about recently, Cam Newton. Like when Cam Newton basically when he reared back and like it looked like he was gonna launch that big 60 and it went 30, I was like, okay, yeah, he's not there no more. But when I did see like Cam Newton run that one run that he had for the Panthers and basically like really got it in on that goal line situation, I'm like, okay, that's the Cam that I remember. That's the guy. That's the what you did best. Like, that's what you did historically best. And it's just like that feeling of nostalgia kind of came back to me and came back through me. And I'm just like, yeah, that's the guy I remember. But this other guy that basically now is showing that he can't really do this shit no more, hang it up. Go be a family man, my dude. You got time for you. I know you put your son on the track, but don't pull him in. Don't let that nepotism make him along with your bullshit. Like, let's not do that. Let's not do that.
So, I guess I'm left to pull this all together. So, I'll sum this up as easily as this. This is Gilbert Arenas on the Magic.
Ooh.
Whenever the guns in my knees have failed me, ooh, I'm going to turn to the bullshit. And this is how I'm going up.
It's bad.
That's how I felt about this.
Shout out to Gilbert Arenas and all that.
Shout out to Gilbert Arenas. I enjoy it. But this was Gilbert Arenas on the Magic. When the guns in my knees have failed me, I shall turn to the bullshit.
Yeah.
This is how I will do this.
Tragic.
It really come on, tragic. Wayne. Give me one more good one.
Yo, Even the Undertaker
came back at 34 for a good squash match where he looked good. Come on now.
Yeah. What was that shit he had during the pandemic against AJ Styles? Boneyard match? Wayne just need a boneyard match. Maybe that's what it is. Like, he needs something that they can show. It's like, he ain't really got to do no bumps for real. It's all played up. Like, maybe, because I was thinking, like, man, he might just be, maybe No Ceilings 3. If that ever comes out, I don't even know if there has been a No Ceilings 3. Yeah, but the next No Ceilings.
Go to some of his classic beats that was his.
Exactly.
Make new songs on them same ones. Just to
I was thinking, like, he maybe just need, like Ice Cube had the track Jacking for Beats. I think Wayne, if he just had a Jacking for Beats where he basically just was going on beat, historical beat after historical beat after historical beat, I think that would be probably best for Wayne. Mm-hmm. Don't try no new shit. Don't try no, I'm just trying, hello fellow youngins. Like, nah, man, skateboard, break that shit over your leg. Just go back to just Wayne, mixtape Wayne, call it a day, show us your brilliance.
From some of the dedications, you know, back then, old dedications.
Something. Yeah. Like I want to hear this nigga just rap over I Ain't No Joke. Like, just like, do some shit that just be like, I want to hear that nigga rapping over, like, let's see, Murder. Like, I want to hear that nigga, Murder by UGK. Like, I want to hear that nigga go over some shit like that. Don't try no new shit. Don't work with Metro. Don't work with nobody. Just go back to the old shit. Make me feel young again. Make you feel young again. Something that basically, because this ain't, it ain't work. Like, Big X the Plug track was cool, but like everything else was absolutely boo boo cock. Wait, you was gonna say something?
Stay up, man. Don't disappoint us no more. I saw people on my timeline count down until this thing was coming out, and then it flopped. I'm not gonna say it was a complete flop, but it could have been better.
I mean, that would be embarrassing, the flops.
Yeah, it just could have been better. It had potential. It had potential. Like I said, Gilbert Arenas on the Magic, though. Whenever the guns in my knees have failed me, nigga. Whenever the guns in my knees have failed me, I shall turn to the bullshit. And that's how it went out. But mm-mm. That being said, you already know who it is. Price, Rob, Visky, Bramigos Podcast. Like I said, never forget. Like, share, subscribe. Just hit that little button. It's free. Don't call us. It's free 99.
It's right there.
Free 99.
Hit it. And then hit it again. And hit it one more time.
Just look. Follow us everywhere. We on Facebook. We on Blue Sky. We on Spotify. If you look up in the sky, you might even see us, though. That's how we get now. Before we get about here, anything you guys want to say before we go?
I just got one thing to say, you know. I know sometimes people let their fandom or their hatred make sports decisions for them, you know, as I've been hearing recently, you know. I don't know what it is with somebody I've spoken with. I don't know if it's their hatred for Halliburton or the excitement to see their homeboys team lose. But Pacers in six, baby. Let's go. I got one for you. I got one for you. You know, Mr. Nate Price. The price is right. Walmart guaranteed low price. Pacers in six.
Ooh. No. No.
Yes, he's ass here.
No. Halliburton in six. OKC's taking this thing home. Like I said, that's all I'm gonna say. OKC. We see who pulled it off last night, you know what I mean?
We're just saying. Gonna put them white jerseys on game five, and that's gonna be a wrap.
Tell you, look, those niggas have not worn a white jersey since. I think our theory is basically, like, I think our theory is pretty spot on. Like, everybody's like, they was wearing the blue jerseys at the crib. Like, they like, nah.
So, we pull out our blue jerseys.
They see the fucking clips. They see the fucking shit. Whoever at the Thunder is watching us, at least put us a shout out on the victory parade. Like, just something. Cause y'all not slick. Y'all not slick.
Look, I got the Thunder taking this. Because the Pacers gave them their best shot last night. The Thunder played some of the worst that they could have played up until on the stretch, and the Pacers couldn't see
it. Scott Foster, we already know the answer. Foster. Freaking Foster.
Hey, y'all wasn't hollering at the beginning of the game.
The series extender.
Hey, Rob, whenever they was getting all of the shit going their way, they wasn't hollering about Scott Foster.
That's true.
That was their home. That was their home at the beginning of the game.
That's true.
That was their home. That was their big dog for a hot minute. Man, come on, Scott, man. You got us like that, bro.
He was heavy on the whistle all night. I was like, God dang.
Mm-hmm. And heavy as the whistle and the crown shall blow. And guess what? OKC said, y'all got to go. And they went ahead and got y'all about it last night. I told you, didn't I tell you? It was going back to OKC choo-choo.
Hey. Look, they ain't lost two in a row this postseason. I don't see it happening.
Well, it's about to happen. It about to be two in a row.
But remember, we ain't had a Halliburton 30-piece yet, and it's just due time.
Oh, but he had close to triple-double, and I think that's about one of the best ones you're going to get.
Yeah, Halliburton 30-piece coming.
He get that 30, shit going to hang 40. He going to hang 40 until y'all let's say,
he going to get the Jerry West treatment. He going to get the MVP. On the losing team.
He going to get an MVP and a title. OKC said, we about to start nailing y'all up in Oklahoma, and then we're going to drop y'all ass back off at y'all crib like some badass kids. Remember your daddy all weekend cutting up, and I'm going to drop you right back at your mama front step and leave you there because we're going home with the ship. So, I'm picking OKC. And with that, we...
I gotta say good night to Canada, good night to Taylor Swift. You know, I gotta do my pleasantries, but also gotta extend out Father's Day weekend to all the daddies out there, all the zaddies out there, all the, you know, women, son, and niggas. Happy Father's Day to you, especially, you know, fathers, you know, the people. Like we said for Mother's Day, fathers that ain't with us, fathers that are with us, but basically need to do more. Hey, look, got time, make a chance. RIP saying the fathers is out there, the fallen fathers is out there. But yeah, happy Father's Day to all. We all got to be better dads. I'm a dad. I'm trying to make sure these little youngins, these little naysayers are basically good for the world. So yeah, they're good to y'all. So I'm going to do my part. Other fathers, you do yours, okay? That's all I could really ask. That's all I could really do. But I'm going to make up sure my side good. You do your same, man. But yeah, peace.
Yeah, we second that. You know, we second that now. Peace.